Welcome to a refreshing podcast from Life Church. Get ready. The Word of God will be planted into your heart and will produce God's best in your life.
Glory to God. I'm excited about it. Who's living the bold life? Last Sunday, I felt really a strong anointing to encourage you to be bold in your personality. I feel that some of us have been shrouded and filtered out and just hiding in some way, not allowing the true expressions of our heart to be released. And the Lord wants to release. He wants you to release who you really are. Some of you, you're not as bold as you should be. You know, you don't really reveal your thoughts. You don't reveal your heart. You pretend, not in a mischievous way, but you just are afraid of being honest with people, with who you are and what you like and the desires of your heart. And so you constantly filter. You constantly accept things that you shouldn't accept. You go along just to get along, you know. And the Lord is saying, no, this is a new day for you. It's time for you to be bold. It's time for you to be honest. It's time for you to be frank. It's time for you to really live out what I've made you to be. And so I'm just speaking this over you once more, that this is your season of bold living. Amen. Bold living. Bold living. I'm really excited about that. We are in a series called Made in Heaven. And I don't think I said what the title of the series was last week, but what we focused on was how God has made you. And last Sunday's message is entitled Made to be Bold. And we'll have that available for you sometime this week. We had a little problem getting it up this week. Some of you have asked about that message. It should be available soon. But you have been made a certain way. That's good news. Why do I say that? There's a lot of people that are living their life trying to make their life something, trying to make themselves a success, trying to make themselves favored and accepted, trying to make themselves something. And I believe that if we live life from the posture of this, and that is, I've already been made, now all I need to do is to live out what I've been made to be, life becomes simple. And I want you to know that you've been made a certain way. You've been made to be bold. And I'm going to say it this way, and this is today's message, you've been made right. You've been made right. Some of us, we feel like we're not right. Something's not right with me. I'm not right. I'm not right with God. Something's wrong with me. I'm not what I need to be. You know, and we'll say, oh, I may not be where I need to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And we focus on that. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not this. I'm not that. I feel by the Spirit to tell you, you have been made right. You have been made right. One of my favorite scriptures is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we'll look at. But let's start with verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, looking at verse 16. And it says, therefore, from now on, someone say, from now on. That means prior to this, what is about to be read wasn't the fact. So he says, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't look at people according to their outward appearance. You know, we don't consider the fact that you're American, and you're black, and you're Jamaican, and you're female, and you're male, and you're tall, and you know, you're this, you're that. We don't look at those things. That's not how we make assessments of people's value. That's not what we prize. That's not what our pride is about. We don't regard anyone in accordance to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you're in Christ, the Bible calls you a new creation. A new creation. You're completely different. You're not. It's not a makeover. God didn't clean you up. I know sometimes we say these things, oh, God cleaned me up. No, God didn't clean you up. You died. There was nothing to clean up. He recreated you. You're a completely new creation. God didn't change you. No, he recreated you. You get me? There's nothing new. There's nothing the same about you prior to Christ. You are a completely different person. But I look the same. You're still different. I sound the same. You're still different. I actually do some of the things that I used to do. You're still different. Why? Who you are is not based on what you do. Who you are is based on your nature. Your nature. If you take an apple seed in the right condition, you sow it into the ground, it yields apples, right? Now, it could be not the season for apples. So, okay, you won't see apples. But so long as that seed is in the ground, eventually apples will start to grow. Oranges will start to grow, right? I have, for instance, in front of my house, just one plant that for whatever reason only blossoms for like 1 week out of the year. It frustrates me because it's very beautiful. And I'm like, man, and it's always around Mother's Day. Always blossoms right around Mother's Day, and then it's like gone for the next 53 weeks or 51 weeks, you know? And it frustrates me, you know? But I'm amazed at that I don't really do much for it. I don't really, like, you know, manage it too often, but yet it continues to grow year after year for that 1 week, you know? But why? Because there's a seed there. There's a seed there. So if I was to judge that plant by the 51 weeks that it doesn't grow, I would cut it. I would get rid of it, thinking that it's nothing there. There's no life. But in reality, there is life. So sometimes we regard each other after the flesh. We look at the outward and we see each other as what we see. Oh, you're annoying. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. You don't pray enough. You're not spiritual enough. You don't go to church enough. You don't change this enough. And we look at all those things. But I have good news for you. There is a seed that has been planted in you. And that seed is destined to sprout out fruit that resembles your heavenly Father. You are a new creation. What does the scripture says? Old things. Somebody say old things. What are old things? Old things are things that you used to do that you know are not of God. They're passed away. Old things have been passed away. I love the next word. It says, behold. That's the key word. Behold. Pay attention to this. Look at this. This is important. Give this your attention. All things have become new. All things have become new. So when you said yes to Jesus, when you said, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. I want to be born again. I want to live for you. What happened? Something supernatural happened. You were immediately changed. Your old nature died. You are no longer the same, and all things became new. So why do people still sometimes live a life that is not compatible with the walk of faith? Oftentimes it's because they don't have an understanding of the change that has been made in them. This is why some people get saved every week. Right? You know, you got saved last week. I don't know if you've been in churches where there's a lot of altar calls and the same people keep coming up for salvation. And it's confusing. Like, wait a minute, did you get saved last week? Yeah, but I had a rough week, so I need Jesus again. You know? All right, well, praise the Lord. Let's get saved, you know? And the next week, oh, Jesus, you know? And really what's happening is there's a lack of understanding of salvation. People are judging their walk with God or their standing with God based on their walk with God. You see, your standing with God really has nothing to do with your walk with God. Now, your walk with God is important. Let's be very clear about it. But your standing with him has nothing to do with your walk with him. You get me? So when you understand that, you realize, I don't need to get saved again. I've been saved already. I've been changed. I've been renewed. I've been washed. I'm completely different. I'm a new person. Now what I need to do is live out what God has called me to live. And I'm speaking this over your life. You will do that in the name of the Lord. Do you believe that? You will live that because you're a new creation in Christ. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's look at verse 21. Glory to God. Actually, look, I didn't include this, but you have verse 18. You could put verse 18 up if you. I didn't give them that scripture, but let's if we could put the 18th verse up, that'd be awesome. I want you guys to see this. Now all things are of God. So the all things that are new, this is the beautiful thing. All of those things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. What does that word reconcile mean? It means, and this is going to help some people, God didn't just forgive you of your sin. He brought you into a place of favor with him. This helped me, actually. Let me teach you a few things about forgiveness and reconciliation. You ever been hurt by someone, like really, really bad, and you knew, I need to forgive that person, but I'm not ready to be close to that person anymore? Right? Sometimes that's very necessary. See, forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. I can forgive you, like if you steal my wallet, right? Say Sam stole my wallet. I saw he stole my wallet. All right, Sam, I forgive you. I know times are hard. I forgive you. But you're not coming over my house. You know, like, because you're going to steal something else. If you didn't ask for forgiveness, right? Or if you haven't changed. So I can forgive him, meaning I give up the right to come after him, to punish him, to steal from him. I say, no, you know what? Water under the bridge, all is forgiven, right? But there is something called reconciliation. Reconciliation is when you restore the relationship to what it was. So that means everything you had with me before you offended me is now there. So when God forgave, he didn't just forgive, he reconciled. He brought you back into favor with him. That's amazing. That's amazing. He reconciled us and caused us to be received back into favor with him. That's what it means to be reconciled. Oh, I love that. You've been made right. Somebody say, I've been made right. Oh, I love that. Look at verse 21. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I'm going to say it this way. You are not only the righteousness of God, but let me say it this way. You are God's moral standard. You are God's moral standard on the earth. So I don't want anyone ever to ever say this. I'm not perfect. Don't look at me. No. You are God's moral standard. People should look at you. Why? I'm God's righteousness. Everything that is right about God, I'm that. Oh, that's heavy right there. I want you to think about that. He made him who knew no sin. He made him who knew no sin. He became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. So if you want to know what's right, look at me. People are like, oh, no, don't look at me, look at Jesus. No, look at me. So some of you are nervous now. That's what the Bible says. Now, why am I talking this way? Because I believe we need to really come back to a revolution of who we really are. A lot of times we do a really good job at separating us from Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. Let's give him the glory, and we should. I'm not that. That's Jesus. But what we're really doing is we're creating space that was never intended to be. Jesus is saying, everything that I am, I've made you. if we really realize that, we will live to our calling. We will live to what God has called us to live like. I'm not doing that. I'm the righteousness of God. But as long as we constantly see Jesus here and us trying to become like Jesus, then okay, I'll do that. Because I'm not Jesus. Don't look at me. No, you are. The Bible says that you are the body of Christ. Come on, man. Let me give you an example. If I'm touching your arm, this is Nitsa, am I touching you? But am I touching your arm or am I touching you? But am I touching your arm or am I touching you? Both. So if you're this is part of your body, right? But it's you. So if we're part of the body of Christ, and the Bible says that he's the head of the body, if I'm his arm, am I touching Jesus? So is it a radical statement to say you are Jesus? Oh, I know you guys ain't ready for that. You're like, well, what kind of church did I get into? This is a cult? Guys are talking about we Jesus. We don't fully understand what it means to be the body of Christ. We don't say, oh, this is not my body. This is not me. This is just my arm. No, you say, this is me. You don't say, oh, this is not me. This is just my leg. No, it's my leg, but it's also me. Right? This is me. Well, if you're the body of Christ, who are you? Why am I saying this? Because I really want us to come to the fresh understanding. I want you to come to the fresh understanding that there is no separation between the body and the head of the body. If I cut your head off, you cease to exist. Well, if there's no body of Christ, then there is no relevance to the head. Oh, my gosh. You guys coming back next week? Jesus is the head, but if there's no body, what's the brain sends signals to the arm, to the legs, to the arm. The head is the place where you have purpose. The head kind of gives you orders. It tells you what to do. If there is no body, what is the head doing? See, if we really fully understand this, we will live as Jesus lived. What did I say last week? As he is, so are we in this world. Notice, it didn't say, so are we in heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll be like Jesus. Oh, when we all get to heaven. Right? We love that. When we all get to heaven, the Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. Not in the sweet by and by, not in heaven. No, in this world, you are as he is. That's good stuff right there. What would happen if we fully believe that? What would happen if we really believe that? I guarantee you we'll live at a different level. We would live at a different level. The reason why we struggle with the things we struggle, it's not a sin issue. It's an identity issue. That's it. You know, like midlife crisis. You know, I don't know what that age is. Maybe 50. What age is a 50? A midlife crisis? People go around 50? 50, 60? All right, so you got the guy. I don't know. Do women go through midlife crisis? Okay. I know men do. Men, they want to recapture their youth. They want to do certain things. And why? They haven't embraced who they are for this season. So they're trying to recapture something. They think that something's being taken from them. No, understand who you are. Live it, own it, rejoice in it. You are made right. You are made right. Praise the Lord. So it says that we became the righteousness of God in him. We became the righteousness of God in him. We are God's moral standard. Praise the Lord. We are God's moral standard. When Jesus said, you are the light. Jesus said it. He says, you are the light of the world. What was he saying? You're the standard of the world. You're the salt of the earth. That's what it means. I think back to the prodigal son. I shared this a couple of weeks ago at our prayer, Saturday morning prayer. It always touches me. The prodigal son who wasted his father's possessions. And he went out and lived a crazy life. He was out partying and spending all his money on women. You know, just kind of that kind of lifestyle. And he became destitute. He became poor. He lost all of his goods. And for a Jewish young man to come to a point in his life where he would have desired to eat the food that was given to the pigs, but he couldn't even eat that. Think about that. Jewish people, they are very, very strict about not eating pork. He wanted to eat their food, the food that was allotted to the pigs and which he was keeping, but he couldn't even do that. And he asks himself a question. He says, how many hired servants does my father have? And I'm living like this? So what happened? He came to a revelation of something's not right. And what was it that caused him to realize something wasn't right? He pointed back to who he was. He understood, wait a minute, I have a father who has hired servants. Praise the Lord. Like, how can I be experiencing this reality when I'm really this? This is the importance of understanding who you are. Because when you get a smack in the face of who you are, you ever get a revelation? It's like a smack in the face. It's like you wake up to something like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? That's exactly what happened to him. He says, this is crazy. I have a father who is paying people to serve him, and I'm his son, and I can't even eat the food in which the pigs are eating? No, I'm not. It's not going down like that. That's what we need. We have to come to that revelation. Wait a minute. God has made me right. He has made me. He has given me his spirit. He has made me one with him. I'm one spirit with the Lord. Do you understand that? I'm one spirit with the Lord. I'm bone of his. I'm in his body. There cannot be a disconnect with how he's living and how I'm living. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, there's a law about what do you call this? When parents go through custody battles with their children, right? And let's just say a man is very wealthy, right? And the woman he was involved with isn't, right? They have a child together. The courts will come in if they decide to go to court, and they will make sure that the woman has enough to make sure that the boy or the girl is taken care of the same way that kid would be taken care of if he was living with the dad, or if the mom was rich, if he was living with the mom. You understand that? Okay, so the courts would say that because they want to make sure that there is no difference in that lifestyle that child enjoys from living here or living there. No matter where that child is living, the level of, the standard of living remains the same, right? Now, that's the court system. Right, and there may be flaws with that, but that's the court system. When I think about that, I think about how God sees things. How God is our Father. We are his children. How does he see things in terms of how he's living versus how his children are living? I truly believe, honestly, that if we're connected to heaven, and we are, if we're connected to God, and we are, all of heaven's resources are at our disposal. I truly believe that if we truly understand that, it will revolutionize and change our life in a dramatic way. So I have good news for you, Life Church. All of heaven's resources are at your disposal. You need to come to the same place that prodigal son came to. He asked himself a question. How many hired servants? I like to ask it this way. How many angels does my Heavenly Father have? How many cattle on 1,000 hills does he have? How many does God have? Lord, I believe that if we come to that understanding, we come to that clear understanding, we posture ourselves to receive whatever we need from the Lord. You've been made right. You've been made righteous. You are God's moral standard. Praise the Lord. Am I excited about that? Let me share one scripture with you. This is going to bless you. It's really going to bless you. Isaiah 54, verses 14 to 17. In righteousness, you will be established. You ever been accused of something you didn't do? People attacking you? People are campaigning against you? You ever experienced that? I want you to know, this is good news for you. In righteousness, you will be established. Don't worry about people who are trying to displace you or trying to discredit you, lying against you. The Bible promises you this. In righteousness, you will be established. In righteousness, you will be established. Because you are right with God, you have this benefit. Lord, I'm right with you. You've made me right. Establish me. In the name of Jesus, you will be far from oppression. You will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. People will come against you, but it won't be of the Lord. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Why? Because you're righteous. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because you are righteous, plots that are set up against you will fall for your sake. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't go into panic mode. Don't begin to feel like you have to fend for yourself. You have to fight for yourself. No, no, I'm righteous. I know I'm right. I know I'm in the right. God always sides with the right. Because of that, I'm established. Look at verse 16. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. Think about that. Now, when we read the next verse, which we're very familiar with, I want you to think about verse 16. We'll go back to verse 16. So, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now I'm going to go back to verse 16. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. What God is saying here is any kind of weapon that could form against you is not outside of my power. I've created every kind of tool, every kind of instrument that could be used against you. And I didn't create it. I didn't create it to be used against you. I just created it. I'm in full control of any weapon that could possibly be formed against you. I created the blacksmith. I created the instruments. All the raw materials that can be used came from me. All the resources of this world came from me. You have no reason to be afraid. Any weapon formed against you will not prosper. Praise the Lord. And I love this last part. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. That means you don't have to be so caught up or afraid of people lying on you, saying things falsely against you. No, we are condemning those things. Those things will be condemned in judgments. Why? This is your heritage. Somebody say, this is my heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is from me. Because they're righteous, this is their heritage. Because I've made them right, this is their heritage. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm excited. Let's celebrate our righteousness. Amen. Anybody excited about being righteous today? We should celebrate that. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why people, again, struggle with how they live, they do not spend enough time celebrating who they are. They spend more time working on improving. We need to improve, yes, but you need to celebrate who you are. You need to celebrate that you're righteous. You need to celebrate that you're blood-bought. You need to celebrate that you've been redeemed. You need to celebrate that you've been newly created. You need to celebrate that you're not the same. Not a makeover. You've been made over. Completely different. Like you are completely a new creation. You need to celebrate that. The more you celebrate who you are, the quicker you'll be able to spot the lies that Satan wants you to believe about who you are. I'm telling you, you gotta believe. And I gave this example before. I think it bears repeating. You many times can be you can be in a situation where people will force you to confess to something that you shouldn't confess to. And you see this in our legal system where they want you to confess to crimes you didn't commit. Do that. Why? There is a power in confession. Yeah, we saw you. I wasn't there. Oh, you were there. No. We signed this piece of paper stating that you were there. Why? The moment you sign it, now they can go to the court and say, Your Honor, this person confessed to this crime. And now the legal stacks are now against you. Come on, think about that. That's what confession does. But what if you begin to confess what is true about you? I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been made right. Somebody say, I've been made right. I've been made bold. Amen. It's okay for me to be free in who God created me to be. Amen. If I have a more boisterous, loud personality, praise the Lord. It's of the Lord. Amen. I mean, sometimes you've seen this, people excited, they're bubbly, they get around people who are reserved and quiet and ashamed and embarrassed, and all of a sudden, the people who are loud and bubbly, they feel like they have to kind of quiet down. No, don't quiet down. I've seen this all the time in church. It's a good point. You're hearing a certain, you want to clap, but no one's clapping, so like, no. I'm saying right now, no one's clapping, you want to clap, clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't let people quiet you down. You want to stand and worship, but the person next to you ain't standing, so you feel like, I don't want to be the only one. No, be the only one. Be the only one. It's okay to be the only one. Live your authentic self in Jesus. Jesus was free to be who he was. One of the things that made him free, he knew that he was right. Even when people came against him, they said, who do you think you are? Who do you make yourself out to be? He says, I love Jesus. He would just love to, really dig in. He says, before Abraham was, I am. My goodness, he wanted to die early. I tell you, man, Jesus wanted to die. He was on the way to the cross. He was trying to get there quick. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, they wanted to throw stones at him right there. I mean, he would say things, if you don't drink my blood, you have no life in him. I'm telling you, Jesus wanted to go to the cross. He was trying to get it there early. It took 3.5 years of this madness coming out of his mind, out of his mouth, I should say, that caused people to say, we had enough. But it was 3.5 years of him saying, listen, I'm a bad mamma jam. I'm telling you, I came from heaven. You have no life in you unless you drink my blood, unless you eat my flesh. I mean, he kept putting it in people's faith. And no matter how much you get upset about it, I'm not going to stop saying who I am. I was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. I've been anointed to open the blind eyes. I've been anointed to set the captives free. Oh, I am who God says I am. He didn't quiet down for 3.5 years. They had enough. They said, we got to take this guy to the cross. He wants to die. He wants an early death. He said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. Knowing that people were going to be like, okay, you are really crazy. It took like 40, 50 something years to build this, and you're going to raise this up in 3 days? I'm telling you, he wanted to die. Jesus wanted to die. But in that, he was demonstrating, I'm not going to allow you to determine who I am. I'm going to speak who I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He said it this way. He says, I'm from above, you're from beneath. John 8. John 8 is a very powerful passage. If you want to read John 8, he goes in on these religious leaders. He says, you are of your father, the devil. He says, if you are a child of Abraham, you would know that I came from God. I'm telling you, he wanted to die early. You've been made right. Celebrate who you are. Celebrate who you are. Some of you, when you were younger, you were told that you were dumb. You were told that you were stupid. You were told that you were ugly. You were told, and sometimes you weren't told these things, but you weren't told the opposite, so you kind of got the picture of what they really felt. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not what you were told, it's what you were not told. But I'm here to tell you that God is saying something else about you. That you've been made right. You've been made beautiful. You've been made awesome. You're righteous in my sight. This is who you are. Believe me. Believe me. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the propaganda. Believe what I'm saying and watch your life be transformed by the word of God. Somebody say, I've been made right. Amen. No weapon formed against you will prosper because you've been made right. Praise the Lord. In the day of judgment, and I'm done. Praise the Lord. Everything that could have spoken against you to tell you why you don't qualify for a relationship with God, why you don't qualify for eternity, won't stand against the blood of Jesus. You know how we look at, you know, judgment or your good deeds, your bad deeds, how many good deeds did you do versus bad deeds? It's not that. It's your bad deeds and the blood of Jesus. That's what it's not your good and your bad. It's your good, your bad, your ugly, whatever, and then the blood. Because even your good deeds won't get you in. It's the blood of Christ. So God is going to be looking at the blood, and any and everything that could speak against you won't prosper. The blood is too powerful. It's too strong. And if you know that, you live life fearlessly, boldly, courageously, moving forward in the things that God has called you to do and to be. Hallelujah. I've been made right. Amen. I want to speak this over your life. If you're struggling with sin, I want you to understand you are righteous before the Lord. And I want you to begin letting that be your confession. Let that be your confession. Walk in that truth. And watch your life be transformed as a result of it. No, I'm not interested in that. Old things are new. Old things have passed away. That's an old thing. Nah, I don't watch that. That's an old thing. Amen. I don't want that. That's an old thing. Another voice comes up. Oh, you really want that? No. My flesh wants it, but that's not who I am. That's an old thing. That's an old thing. All things are new, and all things are of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. All things are now new. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you blessed today? Come on, let's stand to our feet and bless our living God. Father, we thank you for who you are. We honor you and bless you that you have made us right before you.
This concludes today's message. If you need prayer, want to give a donation, or would like more information about Life Church, visit us at www.nylifechurch.com.